The reading today is from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 1, and can be found on page 993 of the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown.' He said to them, 'Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' 'Consider carefully what you hear,' he continued. 'With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him.' He also said, 'This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come.' Again he said, 'What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade.' With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, He explained everything.
I told some people at the 8 o'clock that I was preaching at the 10. I said, have you got any tips for me? And one of them said, I'll just throw in a few awesomes and the odd like. So I want to get those out of the road now and say it's awesome to be here, like, and we'll go from there. Over the years, I've noted a variety of responses to my preaching, and I've been preaching for 42 years. Not everyone responds in the same way. There's always a group of people who have said, that's lovely. Some have said it's too light. Some have said it's too heavy. One man always timed me. And as he walked out of church, he would tap his watch and say, 10 minutes. If you can't say what you've got to say in 10 minutes, stop preaching. And I wanted to say to him something like, sermonettes are for Christianettes, but I was not that rude to say that to him. One lady told me once I'd spoiled Christmas for her because I focused too much on why Jesus came and not enough on all the lovely things that Christmas is about. I could spend the whole hour or whatever telling you about people and their responses to the Word of God. One man accused me of picking on him, or two men really. I was preaching from 1 Corinthians 13 on love. It's part of a series. I'd only been in the parish about two months, and they'd been having a disagreement, and they said, you were picking on us, weren't you, through your sermon? And I had no idea about their disagreement, but they certainly believed that I had. So I thought, well, I was warned before I started in that parish, you're not going to please everybody, and that was certainly the truth. When Jesus started preaching and teaching in Galilee, there were a variety of responses to what he had to say. Large crowds turned out at first because Jesus was the new big thing that people were wanting to go and listen to. Here's this fellow that is healing people. He speaks with authority. Let's go and have a listen. And large crowds started to follow him around. He'd stopped preaching in the synagogues where he wasn't welcome. And he'd taken to preaching in the open fields. In this occasion, there were so many people. He sat in a boat just out from the shore and addressed the crowd that was gathered on the shore. The 12 disciples were, I think, picking up their ears and were spiritually tuned into something that was going on with this man that they hadn't heard with anybody else. They were a bit puzzled by the variety of responses that was happening to Jesus' preaching. They understood some of the spiritual truths. And to help them all along, Jesus used parables. Sometimes these parables enabled the whole thing to be hidden from certain people who spiritually did not have what the Bible calls ears to hear. You can give a message and you think everybody's heard that message. Then you discover that some people haven't heard it at all because spiritually they're not tuned in to what's going on, and their hearts are not open to hear a message from God's word. In this chapter in Mark, there are three parables that Jesus uses to talk about how people respond to the message of God, the message of the kingdom, and there are two which really talk about the way the kingdom grows. They're all leading to a harvest at the end. The first one is what we usually call the parable of the sower, probably better called the parable of the soils, because it talks about the different soils in which the seed falls. Farmers in those days, small property, a bag of seed, they'd go out and they'd start just scattering the seed around into their field. Some of it fell on the path. Before it has a chance to do anything, the birds have come and taken it away, devoured it. These, said Jesus, are the people for whom the words have not even penetrated into their ears. They've not even heard the word. They've enjoyed the occasion, perhaps, but they've not heard what's going on. Satan has snatched the word away before it's had a chance to go anywhere and go more deeply. The path. Some seed fell on rocky, shallow soil. And when you've got rocks underneath, it's very hard for things to sort of put down roots. I've just had a new lawn put in, and right at the edges of the house there was a bit not growing, and I thought, I wonder what's going on here, and I knew you had to aerate it with a fork, so I'm out there aerating with a fork, and I hit concrete. And I realised that one of the problems with this grass was it could not actually go down very deeply. And some people, when they respond to the word of God, are like that. It's hitting a rocky heart. It's hitting somebody. They first of all hear the word with joy, and when that grass first went down, everything looked the same. It all looked terrific. And so people hear the word, they receive it with joy. First sign of trouble, they're out of there. Another portion of the seeds fell where there were weeds, thorns, bushes, choking off the real growth. Now, I've learnt about weeds. Some of you probably have too. I have weeds in my yard. My father said, never walk past a weed without pulling it up. So every time I walk past a weed, I try and pull it up. And they keep coming back. And then I try Roundup, and I think, well, that'll fix them. And then they take a little bit longer to come back, but come back they do. That's the nature of weeds. Jesus said some of the wheat seeds fall into the thorns, and the thorns choke off the growth. If you leave the weeds to grow, other good things are not going to grow. This, he said, are like the people who let the worries of life choke out the word of God, who let the worries of life and the deceitfulness of trying to work out what this life is all about chokes off the word of God. They're so distracted by this world that they cannot hear spiritually anything about what life is really about and what the kingdom of God is about. They're not receptive to hearing the word of God for very long, and really it's choked off. Some seed, said Jesus, will fall into good soil on receptive ears, people who will hear the word, accept it, and allow a large crop to come from their hearing of the word. They will be fruitful. And at the harvest that we will see at the end times, at the end of history, we will see the result of people who hear the word and are then able to have a multiplying effect in the kingdom of God. I think right at the beginning, as Jesus begins his ministry at this time, he's aware that very few of the people who start out wandering around the lakes and hillsides and so forth will end up gathering around the cross to be with him when he gives his life as a ransom for them. This parable, you see, can be a comfort to those who preach, because you know that not everybody's going to respond to your message, the message of the kingdom, the message of the gospel. Not everyone's going to respond positively. But it's also, to each one of us, a warning. Just examine our hearts. How open are we to hearing the word of God? Have we ever let it penetrate deeply so that it can produce a harvest of souls for the kingdom? Or really are we bouncing around in the shallow, rocky, thorny kind of area and the word of God has not really taken deep root? The second parable he taught them in relation to the kingdom was of a seed growing secretly. A farmer puts a seed into the ground, he said, and without doing anything, that seed's begun its work of growing. The man might go off, go to the shops, he might go to bed, he might go off and do whatever he wants to do, but that seed is growing quietly, day in and day out, imperceptibly, until you see something shoot through the soil. Inevitably, given that everything else is right, it will grow to maturity, but it's growing secretly. He said, the kingdom of God is like that. A person here, a person there, a family here, a tribe there. All over the world, seeds of the kingdom are producing fruit as the kingdom of God grows secretly. You and I don't know how many are in the kingdom of God. We may think that in Australia, the kingdom of God isn't doing so well. And you'd probably be right. But nevertheless, God is at work. And it's all under control of the King of the harvest, our Lord Jesus Christ. A friend of mine went overseas to a conference a few years ago on evangelism. He was a clergyman. He was a bit despondent. He'd been preaching, hadn't seen much happening in the church in Australia very much, and he went over to this conference hoping to pick up a few ideas and so forth. And he came back, he was most encouraged. He said to me, Ken, I'm encouraged. I've realised that it's not the message that we have that's the problem. It's the soil into which it's being sown. He'd been hearing stories from African pastors of wonderful growth and response to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, it's growing. So his literal words were to me, there's nothing wrong with the horse we're riding. The track we're on out here is dead. So he's really saying the message of the kingdom's okay, but preaching it in Australia at the moment is hard going. Sometimes it's trying to like sow seeds into concrete. And on the hard path, you're not going to get much return from it. So he was greatly encouraged. The third parable was the parable of the mustard seed. Now the mustard seed, the Middle Eastern mustard seed, is the smallest seed that you can get. I was actually going to get some, and I thought I might pass one around. I thought if I start at the front, it won't go past the second row because somebody will have dropped it. It's that small, tiny little mustard seed. You can still buy them, a little bag of mustard seeds, if you're ever wandering through Jerusalem and other places. You can buy their mustard seed. It starts out as the tiny, tiny seed, and it grows to become this big tree that even birds can roost in it. Jesus said that's what's happening with the kingdom. The kingdom of God, from its small beginnings on the hills of Galilee, is growing into this big kingdom. The last century, I'm told, saw the biggest increase in the number of Christians since the first century. In 1910, 9% of Africa was Christian. In 2010, 100 years later, 63% of Africa was Christian. At the same time, the estimated number of Christians in Asia Pacific had gone from 3% to 7%. So we may not think 7% of the population is all that flash, but when you know that it's more than doubled, you know that there's growth going on. The mustard seed is growing. Things are happening imperceptibly, inevitably, family by family, person by person, some when they're little, some when they're older. God is working it out. Then there's going to be a harvest at the end time. The picture that comes to my mind is the picture in Revelation where John sees thousands upon thousands, people without number, he says, from every tribe every tongue, every language, every nation, every people on earth will be represented around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ when the harvest is brought in. What can we learn about for our own response this morning from these things? There will always be a variety of responses to God's word. So keep sowing, keep sharing. God is the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is the King of the harvest. His Spirit is at work. His Spirit is at work, convicting people of their need of a Savior. So we keep at it. We do not lose heart. God's kingdom is growing. So be encouraged and keep praying. You know how we pray for the work of God overseas, and we pray for the work of God in our schools here, and we pray for the work of God in our church? Let's keep at it. The kingdom of God is growing. Jesus is King of the harvest. There are two pictures of a harvest that I have in my mind. The Bible picture has the lone person going out and sowing his seed in his very small little property. And then the harvest comes, he goes around, a few people might help him, and he goes around with a sickle and cuts the grain, puts it into little things they call stooks, and then someone gathers those up, they take them and they thresh them, throw them up in the air, get the wheat and throw away the chaff. That's happening. That was happening Palestine style thousands of years ago. When I was a school teacher just south of Moree at a place called Gurley, I boarded on Gurley Station. Gurley Station was allegedly the biggest property in New South Wales for growing wheat. It was so big, we had 9 jackaroos in training. We had 14 station hands. It was so big they could afford to board the school teacher for free. And I drove an old ambulance from the station into the school, picking up kids on the way, because it was before bus runs had been invented. Great times. But every year when the harvest came, everything stopped for the harvest. We had 14 headers. And if you know, you may know nothing about these things. Headers are these big, wide pieces of machinery. If you've got John Deere ones, they're yellow and green. When you see them spread out across all these paddocks, all mowing down wheat at once, the farmers are thinking, how much gold is going into the silos? But that's the picture of harvest Australian style when it's happening. Now, they have somebody who's in charge of the harvest. He's not called the King of the harvest, he's not called the Lord of the harvest, but he's certainly the boss of the harvest. Who says what paddocks we're going to do when? Who says how many headers are going out there? Who says where we're going to take it if it rains? All that sort of thing. They've got the boss of the harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of the harvest. He's going to send his angels around to gather his elect at the end time, when it's time for the harvest. We need, A, to be encouraged by that, B, to be ready for it, and C, to be praying and encouraging that others might be by continuing to sow the word, so that when Jesus comes, the number of people who can greet him and be in that harvest time will be that countless thousands upon thousands or millions upon millions. This is what Jesus said to encourage his disciples. Little bunch of 12 blokes, all a bit puzzled. What was going on here? What was happening with this whole Jesus thing? Jesus is saying, guys, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. The kingdom is beginning, but it's going to get bigger. Don't worry about the response of these people, but just pray and be ready when the Lord of the harvest comes, because that really will be awesome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring in the kingdom, to call people to repentance, call people to himself, And Father, we pray that as he has delayed the harvest for his own good reason, that when it comes, we will be there and we will be encouraged because we see people that we've shared with and prayed for who are in that kingdom. Father, we thank you and we pray that that harvest might come soon. In Jesus' name.